Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is the master of all other living entities and of the material nature. His lotus feet are sought and worshipped by great saintly persons like Vyas. Nonetheless, there are fools who consider Lord Krishna an ordinary human being. So please repeat after me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is the master of all other living entities and of the material nature. His lotus feet are sought and worshipped by great saintly persons like Vyas. Nonetheless, there are fools who consider Lord Krishna an ordinary human being. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The example of Lord Krishna's being the Supreme Personality of Godhead is appropriate in regard to understanding the spiritual master. The spiritual master is called Sevak Bhagavan, the servitor personality of Godhead, and Krishna is called Savior Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is to be worshipped. The spiritual master is the worshipper God, whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the worshipable God. This is the difference between the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another point. Bhagavad Gita, which constitutes the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is presented by the spiritual master as it is without deviation. Therefore, the absolute truth is present in the spiritual master. As clearly stated in text 26, Jnana Dipa Prade. The Supreme Personality of Godhead gives real knowledge to the entire world, and the spiritual master, as the representative of the Supreme Godhead, carries the message throughout the world. Therefore, on the absolute platform, there is no difference between the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If someone considers the Supreme Personality, Krishna or Lord Ramachandra, to be an ordinary human being, this does not mean that the Lord becomes an ordinary human being. Similarly, if the family members of the spiritual master, who is the bona fide representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, consider the spiritual master an ordinary human being, this does not mean that he becomes an ordinary human being. The spiritual master is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore one who is very serious about spiritual advancement must regard the spiritual master in this way. Even a slight deviation from this understanding can create disaster in the disciples' Vedic studies and austerities. Om Agyan Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksho Umilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Verse again, Eshavai Bhagavan Shakshat, Pradhan Purusheshvaraha, Yogeshvarai Vimrigyan Griya, Loko Yam Manyate Naram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is the master of all other living entities and of the material nature. His lotus feet are sought and worshipped by great saintly persons like Vyas. Nonetheless, there are fools who consider Lord Krishna an ordinary human being. So, these are instructions for civilized human beings being spoken by Narad Muni to Yudhisthira Maharaj at the on the occasion of the Rajasuya sacrifice. So this section of the chapter, looking at the summary at the beginning of the chapter, it explains that one who is not satisfied with the mind must fall to degradation. One must conquer lusty desires, anger, greed, fear, lamentation, illusion, fright, unnecessary talks on material subjects, violence, the four miseries of material existence, and the three material qualities. So that just about sums up everything. We have to conquer these things and be satisfied with the mind. Otherwise, actually, we will fall down to degradation. So, on our own, actually, it's not possible to conquer all these things. I mean, just look at them. I mean, they're just such formidable foes. Lusty desires, anger, greed, fear, lamentation, illusion, fright, unnecessary talks on material subjects, violence, the four miseries of material existence, and if that's not enough, the three modes of material nature. So, but the summary says, I'm not sure who's written the summary, whether it was actually Srila Prabhupada or his disciples, but in any case, I'm sure Srila Prabhupada approved of this summary. But it says, that is the object of human life, to overcome all of these challenges. Not a small endeavor at all. So, Krishna consciousness is a serious challenge. But we have, fortunately, by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, by Lord Krishna himself, we have been given the means by which we can actually achieve this great challenge of overcoming all these obstacles of life. Because if we don't deal with these things, if we don't overcome illusion and lamentation, anger, greed, fear, then we are doomed, actually, to live a miserable life. And whether we're literally in hell or we're on this earth, we're actually going to suffer as though we were in the deepest, darkest hell. And actually that's what many people do experience, hell on earth, because their mind is so dominated by all these different qualities of material nature that life becomes unbearable. And many millions of people in this world actually end their own lives, commit suicide, just because of these things. In fact, people don't normally suffer so much with physical problems. The problems are usually, the worst problems are mental problems, are depression, lamentation, all these things that have been listed here. So that is the objective of human life, on one level anyway, to not to suffer all these things. And then it goes on to say, one who has no faith in the spiritual master, who is identical with Sri Krishna, cannot get any benefit from reading Shastra. Now, this is also a very strong statement, that if you don't have full faith in the spiritual master, you cannot get any benefit from reading the Shastra. So, of course, we do have a threefold check: guru, Shastra, and sadhu. So all three actually need to be present for us to actually be able to overcome these material challenges. But the spiritual master is a vital component of that. We can't advance without having full faith in the spiritual master. In fact, one verse which is sometimes cited as being one of the most important verses coming from the Vedas, actually not even from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasya deve para bhaktir, yata deve tata guru, tasya te katita hyanta mahatmana, how does it go? Prakashante mahatmanaha. So only one who has full faith or implicit faith in the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord can actually understand the import of all the Vedic scriptures. So we have to somehow or other develop this faith in the spiritual master. So that's one point. So, there's a nice quote. That in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 7:14, and this, it's explaining how the spiritual master is the jiva tattva servitor of the Lord, because that's what Srila Prabhupada is concentrating on, at least in the first part of the purport, that the spiritual master is called Sevak Bhagavan, the servitor personality of Godhead. Actually, when Srila Prabhupada went to New York in 1965 and started preaching in New York, in 1966, at Janmashtami time, he gave his first initiations. And he didn't actually explain much to his disciples what it was all about. But he'd said in an offhand way, the spiritual master should be treated as God. And this threw the disciples, or the forthcoming disciples, into confusion. What? We've got to treat him as God? They were really dumbfounded by this. This sounds too much. We treat a person, an ordinary man, as God? So they had a big debate. And a few of the devotees there were just discussing, no, he can't mean that. You know, what's it all about? And then one of them was called Wali, who became Umapati. And he says, no, it's can't be. Let's go and, he said, let's go and see Keith. Because Keith is very, he knows more about these things. But he happened to be in, he happened to be in hospital at the time. He was sick. And so they went to Keith in hospital and they said, look, he says that he has to be treated as God. But this sounds too much. And Keith, who became Kirtananda later, he says, well, it's quite simple, really. Just go and ask him about it. So they said, that's a good idea. We'll just go and ask him. So one of them went and asked Srila Prabhupada. And he explained that, he said, no, because they say, are you saying the spiritual, they asked, are you saying the spiritual master is God? But Srila Prabhupada, who they knew at that time as Swamiji, not as Prabhupada, he said, the spiritual master is not God, but he should be treated as God. He should be given the same respect as God. You serve him as you would serve God. And on another occasion, there was one reporter, Miss Nixon. And I don't know if she was the one who was wearing a short skirt. This was the 1960s, and if it's not her, you can correct me. She asked, why do you shave your heads? And Prabhupada said, something like, why do you wear a short skirt? Better to have warm legs and a cool head, like that. But she asked another question, which is more pertinent, actually, to this discussion. And that is that she says, Swamiji, I see that actually you're given a lot of very luxurious items. Like, for instance, you know, I've seen you being collected in a very high-class car. I don't know what it was, you know, Rolls-Royce or something, but I don't know. But the devotees used to do that. Actually, the first time that Srila Prabhupada came here, you know how he got here? Do you know how he got here? Helicopter, yeah. And I don't think it was such a good experience, actually, so they didn't do that again, but it cost a lot of money. I don't know how much, but a lot of money. They landed on the lawn out there, apparently. So Prabhupada explained, yes, this is right. This is how the spiritual master should be treated. And the spiritual master accepts such things, like a luxurious car, in order to teach the disciples how to serve the spiritual master. Because if Krishna himself, if God himself came right now, how would you treat him? You wouldn't put him in an old banger in the temple's old Ford Escort or something. You wouldn't do that, would you? No, you'd ring up your wealthiest congregational member and say, bring your Rolls Royce. Anil Agarwal would probably come with his, I think it's a Bentley actually, rather than a Rolls Royce, but and his chauffeur. Krishna's come, bring your car, you know, drop everything, miss your flight, and just come and pick him up. So that, in the same way, the spiritual master should be treated like that also. The spiritual master is actually teaching, although he is Jiva, he is teaching how to serve the Supreme Lord himself. So I was going to quote a nice, actually it's part of the purport. I don't remember it, so I'm going to read it. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 5.142, it is said, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Britya. This is also very relevant to this verse, because the verse says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is the master of all other living entities and of the material nature. So, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabha Britya. The only supreme master is Krishna, and all others, both Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, engage in the service of the Lord. Both the Vishnu Tattva as Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita, and the Jiva Tattva, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda, engage in the service of the Lord. But one must distinguish between the Vishnu Tattva servitors and the Jiva Tattva servitors. The Jiva Tattva servitor, the spiritual master, is actually the servitor God. So he's described like that. The spiritual master is called the servitor God. Not that he is God, but he's treated like God, and he teaches how to serve God. Because he's always serving God. He's always serving Krishna. As explained in previous verses, in the absolute world there are no such differences, yet one must observe these differences in order to distinguish the supreme from his subordinates. So, actually in the Lilamrita, it's also described in volume 6, that in a lecture Prabhupada stressed how Guru and Krishna were saving the conditioned souls from eternal suffering in the material world. And he said, "Don't lose this opportunity. Don't be foolish, misled by so-called scientists, philosophers or politicians." So in this day and age, those are the gurus. People are accepting, especially scientists, or as leaders. They're thinking that scientists will solve all the problems of the world. But Srila Prabhupada is telling us, don't be foolish. Don't take at face value what they're saying. A lot of it is actually just speculation. We don't need to. If we just listen from the pure devotee who is presenting the Vedic scriptures, then we can actually make progress in life. Because like those problems that were discussed, which are causing people, lamentation, greed, anger, fear, material miseries, etc., which are causing people to terminate their lives prematurely, to commit suicide, they're actually not being solved by the politicians or by the philosophers or the scientists. Because more people are actually taking their lives. And in fact, even more people are not taking their lives, but more or less committing suicide without actually doing it. Because they're doing that, they're living in such a way as to, like, for most people, many people are taking addictions, alcohol and drugs and things, just to cover the pain that they feel in the heart. Because the heart is feeling empty, is feeling bereft of its real desire for love, happiness. And they're not finding answers from these so-called leaders of society, philosophers, politicians, and scientists. And more people are now terminating their lives, literally, and also just becoming totally addicted to substances which basically are just anesthetizing their consciousness, so they can't feel the pain. Because it is painful, actually, life, material life. So he says, take to Krishna consciousness, and that is possible only by Guru Krishna Kripaya. By the mercy of Guru and by the mercy of Krishna, you can achieve all success. This is the secret. And then he quotes this verse which I quoted earlier. Yasya deve para bhaktir, yata deve tata guru, tasyaite katita hyata, prakashante mahatmanaha. And then he explains something about Guru Puja. Because it's very significant, in fact, that in the morning program, the first thing we do is worship the Guru when we're chanting the samsara prayers. That's worship of the Guru. Every single verse ends in Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. And this shouldn't, because it's repeated so many times, we have to be wary that we don't just take it for granted. It's very easy when you're attending regularly Mangalati that it just, because we have a facility in human life, which is a good facility if used properly, that the human mind just absorbs information, and it can, like for children, for instance, they learn by rote, and that's a good thing because they're not thinking about it. They just absorb it. But even in adults, the same thing happens as well. But at some point, it has to become thoughtful. We have to understand what it is we've learned, not just repeat. Because we can repeat parrot fashion. We have that facility in the human form of life to repeat parrot fashion. And your mind can be somewhere completely different. I don't know if you have that experience. But it's like that. You can chant 16 rounds practically, and you've not thought about it at all. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gauri Nitai Ki Jai. So it's very important to actually understand the words that you're singing, especially because of it's in a foreign language, or what was originally a foreign language to you, actually is the original language. And it's our original language, the soul's original language, but we haven't been brought up with that. So I thought I would just go through some of the English of the samsara prayers, because also it's very relevant. So the first verse, samsara davanala lida loka tranaya karunya ganaganatvam. Praptasya kalyana gunanavasya vande guru sri charanaravindam. So the first line of the translation, the spiritual master is receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy. So which line of the Sanskrit is that coming from? Who can say? From the ladies? You know the verses. Most of you, anyway. It's not the second line. No. The question is, the translation goes, the spiritual master is receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy. So, what's part of the Sanskrit of that verse is that a translation of? Third. Yeah, it is. Praptasya means who has obtained. Kalyana, auspicious. Guna, qualities. Arnavasya, who is an ocean. So that's actually the reason why the spiritual master should be treated as God. Because actually he has received from the ocean of spiritual qualities, he's received the benediction. So he is actually the term is used, a transparent via medium. Those qualities that Krishna has, now there's a nice little book, 64 qualities of Krishna, you can get from probably the shop or the reception. Very nice. Now, book. Now, obviously a jiva can't display all the qualities of Krishna in full, but in a small proportion. I forget what the percentage is. What percentage is it? 72% or something? I don't know. 78%, is it? Yeah, okay. But the spiritual master, he's actually fully received the qualities of Krishna. So therefore he deserves the full respect and service and treatment as though he is God. Because actually he's carrying those qualities. And just like we have the example of the fan, now although which is plugged in to the source of power. Now currently, most of the living entities are plugged in to the power station of Maya. So therefore, they're receiving the energy that the living entities are receiving, the conditioned living entities are receiving, are composed of lamentation and misery and greed and lust and all these unfortunate things. So if we unplug that, but we can't just unplug it actually, then the fan starts to gradually slow down. But we have to plug it into the power station, Krishna's power station, which is actually delivering all the good qualities. So the spiritual master, he's plugged in to that Krishna's power station. And therefore he's receiving like a strongly flowing river of good qualities. Gunana Vasya. Praptasya Kalyana Gunana Vasya. So in the same way, if we plug in, like maybe you could think of the spiritual master, I only just thought of this, I don't know if it's appropriate, so let's see. If we put an adapter, say there's only one plug, and we put an adapter in, and that adapter could be considered like the spiritual master. So we plug into the adapter, the spiritual master, and then through his mercy, we receive also these Kalyana Gunana Vasya, this ocean of spiritual qualities, spiritual qualities from which are originally coming from Krishna. And one, when I'm chanting, sometimes I like to, I try to. It doesn't always. I can't always manage it, but think that actually, the holy name of the Lord is the most merciful form of the Lord. It's, anybody can chant the holy name. Anybody can hear the holy name, more or less. But actually, the holy name really only appears in our hearts or on our tongues by the mercy of the spiritual master. Because we're not qualified, actually. But because the spiritual master, he's instructing us to chant the holy names. And he's giving us the reasons why we should chant the holy name, because it's non-different from Krishna. So, by the mercy of the spiritual master, the holy name of Krishna, Radha and Krishna's holy names, agree to appear in our hearts and dance on our tongues. Because otherwise, there's no chance, actually. We would never, unless Srila Prabhupada had actually come to the West in 1966, none of us, is very unlikely, extremely, extremely unlikely that any of us would have started to chant Hare Krishna. Isn't it? It's possible somebody may go to India and hear the Maha Mantra, but it's very, very unlikely, actually, that we would do that. So, and not only that, without the spiritual master's mercy, because the spiritual master is continuously praying for us. Like once I asked my Guru Maharaj I can't remember exactly how I asked, but I asked for his blessings, mercy, whatever. And he says, I'm always praying. Every day I'm praying for my disciples. So even if we may not get very close association, because the spiritual master may have thousands of disciples, he may be so busy, he may be cultivating the prominent people in society, because they're the people that can actually make a difference. They can change the world. Ordinary people, you know, just office workers or taxi drivers or something, they can do their part, and that's good, but they're not going to change the world. But these politicians or philosophers and scientists, if they were to actually accept Krishna consciousness, they could do a great deal. So therefore he may be... But even though he may be doing that on one level, at the same time, he is continuously praying for his disciples and that Krishna bestows his blessings and mercy and benediction upon them. And that's a very comforting thought. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, he didn't have very much association with his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He only met him, I don't know, what was it, 10, 12 times, something like that. But he always felt that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in his heart and guiding him. So this is the kind of faith that we have to develop. This faith in the spiritual master will then reveal to us all the imports of all the Vedic scriptures. And then we can overcome all those obstacles which are described at the beginning of this chapter of Bhagavatam. So there isn't time to go through any more of the verses of the Samsara, Sri Sri Gauravastika, but I would recommend that everybody actually tries to not just learn it, but learn the word for word and understand the translation, so that when we're singing it, it actually is meaningful, that we're actually really offering our hearts to the spiritual master. And we're really paying respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of such a spiritual master who is an ocean of auspicious qualities. So I'll stop there, and if anybody has any questions or comments...